Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany A.J. Maricki, the founder of Sisters in STEM. If you're new to our audience and don't really know who we are, Sisters in STEM is a multimedia platform aimed toward empowering women of color in their daily lives and their passion for science, technology, engineering, and math. I created this podcast to showcase empowered women, STEM-powered women. Today, we'll be chatting with Dr. Adeline about her path to dermatology, why she chose it, challenges she's faced along the way, and her outlook on how representation affects the dermatology community. You might already know her as Brown Skin Derm from the Gram, where she shares health information that affects melanated skin and little insights from her life as a brown derm. Have you ever considered working in dermatology? Have you ever had a dermatologist? Personally, I have not. So I think we're going to learn something new together. Now let's get to it. Say hello, Adeline.
Hi, Brittany. It's a pleasure joining you to talk about issues that affect women in STEM or minorities in STEM. So I'm glad to join you here today.
So happy to have you.
By the way, I'm so happy that a platform like this exists, and I just want to say thank you for starting this, for having the initiative to put this together. It was needed. It is overdue, and I just wish you all the success with this.
Thank you. All right, now first things first, tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay, I am Adeline Kickham. I am a second year dermatology resident in South Texas. So what is a resident dermatologist? After medical school, you go into specialization. So dermatology is the field that I picked to basically focus the rest of my career in medicine. And later on, I guess we're going to discuss about how you get to being a dermatologist. After next year, I graduate next year, I hope to specialize in skin of color and dermatology surgery. And so that's the goal that I'm working towards now. And like Brittany mentioned, skin of color is a passion of mine within dermatology as a medical specialty.
Okay. So what about dermatology caught your interest and why did you choose it?
The process of deciding whether to become a dermatologist was something that really goes right back into my childhood. I've always been very observant of my surroundings and people's skin in general. I'm originally from Cameroon in West Central Africa. And when you grow up in a community like this, you see a lot of tropical skin diseases. So that always caught my eye because it was very, very visual. So from childhood, I've always kind of veered towards skin diseases and interest in skin diseases as my interest in health evolved. And so when I had the opportunity to study in the U.S. and then eventually get into medical school, I was also exposed to many other specialties, but I had a particular interest in dermatology because of my childhood experiences. Seeing many skin diseases growing up, such as, you know, leprosy. And I love just how, you know, how diverse the field of dermatology is in terms of things you can do, whether it's surgery, cosmetic, medical dermatology, pathology. In clinic, there is no boring day for me. You know, I could be counseling a patient on skin cancers, actually actively taking part in the excision of those skin cancers. Then, you know, the next minute, looking under the microscope to diagnose what I'm seeing clinically on my exam. It's not boring. There's no boring day. It just keeps me, you know, active, and I see different things daily in clinic. You just never know what skin disease is going to walk through the door. Mm-hmm. So many, I can talk about this forever, but those are some of the things that, you know, drew me to dermatology.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, on your path to becoming a dermatologist, did you come across very many minorities focused on this field?
So one thing, if you're observant about the medical specialty that is dermatology, it's not the most diverse medical specialty. When you are out there on your rotations, going through the application process, or going to conferences, you quickly realize that you may be the minority in the room, you know?
Oh, I know it all too well. It was the same for me when I was studying engineering. There's a lack of representation within our field, so we always have to seek out others. Otherwise, you're just alone.
Yeah, I've gotten to meet a few people, and then you bond over things like that, kind of support each other. But that has been my experience, really, throughout medicine and not only dermatology. That was my experience in undergrad, taking my pre-med classes, you know, but it was being one of only so many minorities in a pre-med class, in my science classes. I remember there were actually only three in my several classes I took, whether it's in general chemistry or physics. And in terms of support, in that regard, it can get really, really lonely. But another thing is then you kind of pull together and help each other through. And the only other person that was in one of my classes is a ER physician today, and we kind of have supported each other right from undergrad through medical school. Right now in residency, I still lean on some of that support in terms of you just mentally, you know, going through the process, because there's some unique challenges that you go through as a physician of color that, you know, it's only so many people that can relate to when there are not too many of you. So you quickly form a sisterhood, and where you have a safe space to discuss some of those things in a way that you won't be able to otherwise. That's why I use brown skin derm, which we're going to talk about later, as a platform for being able to reach other minority medical students and get them interested in the field of dermatology. Because if you are going to increase representation in dermatology, there has to be an interest first.
That is very true.
You know, getting people to be interested first in believing that they can actually apply and make it into the specialty is one of the most competitive specialties in medicine. And it can be discouraging in that regard when you don't feel like you are maybe good enough, or you're made to think that it's unachievable, or that you're not good enough to make it, to apply and actually get into one. So I use that also a form of mentorship to talk about what to do, whether it's improving the academic aspects of things, or just networking, talking to the right people, finding the right contacts.
That is so true. And without seeing that representation, you won't believe that that is something that you can aspire to be.
Very, very true. I always tell people the reason why I'm passionate about mentorship is because I never had that going through the process. I never had one mentor just guiding me and telling me, you know, things were possible. And as a result, I felt like I was always the last person to learn about things, about opportunities, about things that I could do, you know.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have any physician in my family. I think I was the first physician in my immediate family, you know? So it's not like you can go home and ask your parents and everybody like how to do certain things or ask them for advice, you know, those kind of academic advice when there's no one that has gone through the process that can give you all this insight.
They just say, oh, what is Adeline doing? Oh, she's doing something in medicine.
Yeah.
They'll find out when you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really hard. Like, I always felt like my mom and dad always had the answers to everything until when I said, go through this process of medicine. And they're like, look, we can't help you. Like, you know, it's hard for them to really guide you. So you kind of have to rely on outside mentorship, which I didn't have. It was hard to even find doctors that looked like me. You know, I didn't have too many physicians to look up to in my immediate circle. Just like, okay, this is somebody I could go up to and talk to. I did reach out to many people or people I felt, you know, could be of help to me, but everybody gets so busy, and I understand it today as a physician, you know. So mentorship takes time, it takes commitment. It's easier to mentor a student that has everything together than to mentor somebody that, you know, is struggling and, you know, needs this and that. So mentorship entails a whole lot. And some people, you know, have the time for it, others don't. But I went through each of the process just learning, getting some things right, getting some things wrong. And what it does is it takes away some time, you know, in terms of figuring things out. There are certain things that I would have done differently in retrospect that would have saved me a lot of time when it came to the application process, whether it was for medical school, but that I didn't know, or in terms of opportunities to be better, to make myself a stronger applicant. Mm-hmm. The good thing about the platform, like social media, that I love about it, that I didn't have when I navigated the process, is that what you can't find in your immediate environment,
you could find
online. Yeah, you could see, you could message somebody now. There are a whole lot of, you know, brown skin doctors out there, minority physicians and minority help pages for physicians that I didn't have and I wish I had when I was coming up. So that is why I use this platform to kind of reach out to medical students and like, hey, you may not have somebody you can go to at your school to talk to in the academic advising office, but hey, you have some great, you know, physicians on Instagram that, you know, are doing really, really impactful stuff that you can reach out to and talk to them about your journey. And I get that from a lot of the messages, you know, with students writing to me like, oh, okay, I've never thought about dermatology, but since I started following you, I think this is a field that I could be interested in.
Oh, that's so nice.
Seeing somebody of color really in a very competitive academic specialty, it helps. Mm-hmm.
Now, have you noticed a lack of representation affecting our society's approach to skin health?
I do feel that it does, because another complaint I've gotten from my immediate family and even the people that follow me on my social media platform is saying that there's this disconnect when they go to your dermatologists that are not of the same racial ethnic background as them. I mean, I did a poll one time on brown skin derm, mm-hmm. just to gauge. Now, a majority of my followers are people of color, just to gauge what their experiences with dermatologists has been. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's not a scientific, you know, poll. It's just based on, you know, the people that follow me. And I think about 600 people participated in that poll, and an overwhelming majority of people described their interaction as unsatisfactory. And that really, I remember just seeing those results. Like, I didn't even talk about the topic I was going to talk because it was just, I didn't expect that.
Oh, wow.
And I asked people why they were so unhappy. And, you know, I got most of this, like, there's a lack of understanding of, you know, how my medical condition is affecting me. I don't feel like they get me, you know. I don't feel like they understand, you know, how they're treating me, if it's like, there were just so many complaints. Take, for example, seborrheic dermatitis is what people commonly refer to as dandruff, you know.
And I was thinking, is a what? What did she just say? Thanks for giving it in layman's terms.
I've had some people say, my dermatologist is telling me to wash my hair every day and, you know, put all this stuff on there and, you know, not to put, you know, all this oils and pomades on my scalp and all that.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I, as a Black woman, I know to tell somebody to wash your scalp every day, you know, what it would do to your hair. And some of those things, like, do they understand that I can't do that? I have my braids. It's not as easy to just, you know, say, you know, some of these things. Mm-hmm. And I've also had, you know, clinicians of other ethnicities write me and say, you know, I'm uncomfortable talking about hair loss with my minority patients. I'm uncomfortable Like, even I don't know if I'm doing the treatment for seborrheic dermatitis right in this specific patient population, because, you know, the treatment algorithm does work to wash your hair with, you know, with the medicated shampoo, you know, 3 times a week or even daily for some of my patients. I tell them that, but I don't know what to say when I have a patient of color. Does it make sense? Would they be offended? You know, how do I talk in a way that's not condescending, but trying to relay that I'm really, you know, I care about how, you know, how they're treating their hair, their hair practices. And you have this whole cultural sensitivity issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it hacks back to some of the training you get and where you get it. You know, there are some programs that are not in the most racially diverse places or cities. And as a result, you don't get to see some of those diverse patient population. And then there are others that are in places like New York, where you get to see literally everybody from different backgrounds. And so the way you learn to relate to patients from your training also takes into your approach once you start practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like some people handle it well, but some people struggle with it. But what I was getting from many people that were writing to me is that there was this disconnect, and they felt like, you know, they were not getting the care they needed. And there are others that had, you know, a few that had really, really great experiences. But I think it's important that in our training, as much as possible, and I speak about this on my page, that we try as much as possible to learn about skin issues and skin conditions that affect people of different racial ethnic backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
by either going to conferences like the Skin of Color Conference, where, you know, you have a lot of physicians that are mainly talking about dermatology and skin of color, or doing an out rotation in a more racially diverse program to get exposure, or in a physician that is practicing in a racially diverse city to be able to handle just the visit from a racial or cultural sensitivity standpoint, because you may have the best knowledge on skincare, but if you can't relate with the patient in a way that they respect and they actually trust your treatment of them, then what's the point, or what use is it? So I definitely think that if we had more physicians or dermatologists should aim or strive to have more exposure in treating different kind of different issues in skin of color, but also from a cultural sensitivity standpoint, knowing how to relate to these cultural groups as best they can.
Wow.
I know I've spoken a lot on this issue, but
no, and it's so needed. It's something we deal with on a daily basis. We know we have melanated skin. We know how our hair is affected with dandruff and the creams that we need to use. We use the thicker cream so that way we ain't got ashy knees. We know all this stuff. But if you're someone else looking from the outside in, you wouldn't necessarily know how to treat a person experiencing this on the regular unless you're taught this in school. And that's why it's important to make sure that mm-hmm. if you are someone who's going through the same things as what your patient is, you'll be like, okay, I've learned this in school. I've learned this from experience. This is what you need to do. And that's why it's so important. We need it from every single aspect.
Yes, definitely. And we need to know how to deliver that care. I definitely agree with you.
In general, what are some of the ways that we can incorporate diversity to improve our approach to skin care and skin issues?
I think there are several ways, and that's why I started Brown Skin Derm, because I knew that as a resident physician of color, I could reach many other people of color when it came to fact-based or science-based or evidence-based medicine when it came to skincare. There's so many people that are talking about skin issues and skincare that are not physicians. So then how do I talk to a core group of people that I think need greater awareness in how they take care of their skin beyond just learning about a skincare routine? I wanted to talk about things to do with, you know, skin cancers, things that are commonly not associated with people of color, but that we know as physicians affect people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So having a greater voice in bringing or challenging some of these misconceptions, and that's what I use my page to do, to say, hey, this is why, even though you have a lot more, you feel like your melanin, you know, protects you or from the sun, and it's totally, you know, you feel like you don't need sunscreen and all that to bring up the issues that are wrong with such type of statements, because it's not, you know, melanin doesn't give you a blanket, you know, have protection on just about everything. There are many skin diseases that predominantly affect people of color, like lupus, that make you sun sensitive. And, you know, that in those core group of people, your melanin is not enough. You need sunscreen. So is the education, challenging notions and misconceptions about what is possible when it comes to our skin and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as a physician, the education, that's what I really focus on my platform, educating people about, you know, the skin diseases that are more predominant in people of color,
mm-hmm.
Addressing issues such as hyperpigmentation, whether it's hidradenitis suppurativa, things and issues in our community that have higher prevalence, whether it's getting together other minority physicians to run these educative stories on Instagram. Really, it's bringing together people that have more influence in as far as, you know, their background of training, being a physician, to actively put forth sound, credible information on skincare when it comes to people of color.
And it's so good that you're putting that out there on your page, because in the space where we are, we have so many different people who are on YouTube talking about skincare issues. Just like you said, if I have a skin issue, my first stop will probably be to look up a video on YouTube, like, okay, what's going on with this? How do I approach it? Rather than going to a dermatologist.
Yes.
I've never been to a dermatologist before.
Yeah.
And talking to you makes me think, huh, they do all those things?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have one. I didn't even know they did all of that.
Yeah, it's education. Like, it's really important. There's so many people that just think dermatologists focus on only skin.
Mm-hmm.
But we do skin, we do hair, and also telling them that there is value in seeing a medical professional. I know that historically, people of color, especially in this country, have been they're more cautious when it comes to, like, trusting, you know, the medical specialty due to our history, and rightfully so. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There is some, what's the word? I feel like there's a good word, some apprehension. That's it. They're very apprehensive of the medical community.
Yes.
Given the historical injustices that have been done onto them, whether it's research or their treatment. And so it's made it harder to convince people to take part in research that would benefit our community in just about any aspect of health, whether it's cardiology or, you know, dermatology. At the same time, we need people to seek help from us earlier on in their disease or when they start noticing symptoms so that things could be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where investing in creating more minority physicians that can, the patients can see this themselves and can relate to, becomes really, really important in building that trust in terms of identifying and being able to understand what people in the community, minority communities, are going through and serving them better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very important point you touched on, because I think people are always quick to get free information to self-treat, and I see it on my page. And people come there, and while I have an educative platform, I am always trying to tell people at the end of the day, nothing replaces a visit with a physician.
That is true.
You know, free information is good online, but I'm just there to facilitate that process of understanding, of helping you, trying to describe what is going through, trying to educate you on some of the things to do, whether it's routine skin exams. But at the end of the day, I want you to go talk to a medical professional.
Yeah. They think that you can be their free Instagram doctor.
Yeah. 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 And it's a constant reminder on my page. Hey, FYI, this is not to replace your visit. This is to help to just you bring some general education, but not to replace an in-office skincare exam from your dermatologist or a medical professional.
That is funny. I remember when I was younger, I had, this was before I went to a doctor, before I was diagnosed or anything. I had a case of nicolitis, and it was kind of, like a different form of eczema, which I think, tell me if I'm wrong, eczema heavily affects the Black community, correct?
Yes.
I had it from when I would put my pants on, the nickel on basically the button on the pants would rub up against my skin.
Okay.
So when it would do that, it would create bumps on my stomach. And my mom saw it.
So I've never heard this called nicolitis, but I'm so happy because I'm
really
so-
okay. Tell me what it is.
No, but that is
that's
so
what
cute.
My doctor nicolitis. Told me.
Well, I like that description. I think I'm gonna start using it on some of my patients, but oh my God. So basically.
So did somebody dumb it down for me? Is that what they did?
But at least you got the point. At least you got the point. I mean, I like it. I'm stealing that from my little patients.
I was young.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because he wasn't going to go be like, hey, you have an allergic reaction to nickel. So it's an irritant contact dermatitis, meaning that the nickel is, you know, irritating the skin. So you're basically allergic to the nickel. The irritation is coming from the nickel. Just dump things down, but not too dumpy. And it's very common in from the buckle, you know, or people's belts, and yeah, it causes the irritation around there. So yeah, I like nicolitis. That just about captures everything.
I was young, so maybe the doctor was just trying to, you know, give it in terms that a young kid would know. But luckily we did go to a doctor to get it checked out, because as soon as my mom saw it for the first time, she immediately freaked out. She put a whole bunch of Neosporin on it, put gauze on my, put gauze on it, and then wrapped me completely in a circle with duct tape. I was scarred from just having her do that. I think she might have caused more damage by doing that rather than just having us leave it alone and go straight to the doctor. So you guys are definitely important.
Hey, but it's a good term for the kiddies, okay? I love it, and I'm stealing it, and I'm using it. But you can't use it anymore because you're out of that age range. So
I thought it was real.
Now, you mentioned some of the diseases that heavily affect the Black community, and you mentioned lupus. Now, you said that brown skin derm educates. Educate me a little bit. Is that a skin disease? I know I've heard of it and Black people who have had it, but I never really knew much about it. I think it would be good for the listeners to learn more.
Lupus is a connective tissue disease, and I'm going to try to water this down. So
yeah, water. You don't have to get super technical.
So it's a connective tissue disease. It's an autoimmune disease. What is an autoimmune disease? Is a disease that is caused by your immune system attacking you. Okay. So with lupus, people of all races and ethnic groups can develop lupus, but it's more prevalent in women, and it's more common in African American women than, say, Caucasian women. And you have as many as 1 in 250 African Americans that would develop lupus.
Wow.
There are many factors that could possibly be contributing to this. So this is something that we're still learning about. So hormones, environmental factors may play a role in who develops lupus. But a lot of research is being done in this area. So how can I summarize lupus for the average listener? It's a chronic, and that's very important for us to understand, it's a chronic autoimmune disease, and it can affect many parts of the body, not just the skin. The skin is only one organ system. So it can affect your joints, it can affect your kidneys. And then chronic really means that the signs and symptoms that you have will persist for many years.
Oh, wow.
And there'll be good days, there'll be bad days, but people with lupus need a lot of medical and as well as mental and emotional support.
Mm.
It's when you're talking about your immune system and multiple organs have been affected, you know, it's something serious. People with lupus would have flares, meaning there's sometimes your disease gets a little bit worse, and then there's sometimes it goes into remission, you feel a little bit better. And the good thing about what today, when it comes to awareness, you have more celebrities that are talking about lupus, especially celebrities of color. And the one person that comes to mind is, I think, Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
And Nick Cannon have been very open about their battle with lupus. And even within lupus as a disease, there are many subcategories. There are only skin related kind of lupus. What we call discoid lupus, affecting only like the skin. And then there's systemic, where you have all those organs being affected. So, and I'm being very, very overly simplistic here.
I know.
In my description.
I know.
And you can graduate from just this only skin involved to multi-organ involved. But what are the symptoms? I just want to seize this opportunity to kind of touch a little bit on the symptoms of lupus. You get a rash or redness to the face, across the nose and cheeks. You can get scaly rash that scars to the skin. You can get sores in the nose and mouth, joint pain, swelling, feeling fatigue, fevers, feeling like you're getting the flu, chest pain when breathing, unusual hair loss. And I say this because we're always quick to run and get, you know, hair loss treatment online and things like that. This is why you go into your doctor, because hair loss means a lot of things. Okay, there are different types of hair loss. I know I'm diverting a little bit, but people should learn to see medical experts to help them, because some of these signs and symptoms may be leading to a general or more specific medical condition that needs to be diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
So people will realize that they can get a rash or feel sick after being under the sun.
Mm.
So that's another reason why in this group, to prevent some flare-ups, you need sunscreen. So you don't only use sunscreen to prevent skin cancers. So that's another use of sunscreen that I try to educate people on. Kidney disease, I already mentioned, problems with blood, such anemia, low red blood cell count, you know, so it's very all encompassing, and it's very important that we're aware of this, we seek help and for diagnosis and treatment. But that's general, but that's one of many skin disease or a medical condition that is more prevalent in skin of color, you know, women of color, specifically African Americans, that I try to use the platform to educate.
Mm.
Another is hidradenitis suppurativa that I talked about recently on my Instagram. And I had so many people reach out to me and say, you know what, I'm going into the doctor because I've been thinking forever this is ingrown hair. But after seeing what you just, you know, all this education that, you know, I saw on your feed, I'm thinking I have something different. And, you know, by only thinking this was, you know, ingrown hair, I feel like, you know, I've prevented an, you know, evaluation of my condition, and I need to seek medical care. So everything is just really awareness.
Was that thing with the little bumps under your armpit?
Yes.
Oh.
So you can get them under your armpit, in your groin. So this is some of the things that I try to highlight when it comes to skin health in general, that I feel like we are not getting as a people mainstream, and why it's important for physicians of color to be in our specialty, to advocate for certain things that will be what I call off the center, meaning they're not the main things that are discussed when it comes to skin health. Even in Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and I go to all the major cancer pages, I hardly see anything about people of color. And sometimes that really makes me feel like we're left out.
Mm-hmm.
I have this platform because I want to be able to draw attention. Wait a minute. You know, we may not get skin cancers at the rate that other people do, but when we get, we have worse outcomes. So then it's important for us to talk about it. It's important that we are not ignored in the discourse of, you know, skin cancer awareness. It's important that we have visibility. It's important that we are represented in the campaigns. It's important that we are talked.
See, all those details that you're giving is going to bring out the inner hypochondriac in me. I'm over here thinking, okay, I have that, I have that. Oh, and I got those little bumps too. Oh my goodness. I got, I think that a trip to your page would be worthy to anyone. So why don't you tell them a little bit about Brown Skin Derm, where they can find it, and kind of tell us what made you want to create it? Why is it important for you to have this platform?
Okay. So, I created Brown Skin Derm about, it should be going on 2 years now, because I created it at the beginning of my residency experience. And I did that because when I was just looking through social media, I wasn't getting out of it evidence-based medical skincare advice, you know, and I wanted to fill that void. I was putting myself in other people's shoes, people who are not well versed in dermatology or seeing dermatologists, like what would they need when, you know, they're looking for topics or answers to just general skin issues, basically skin health, not just a skincare routine. I didn't see that. And I also reflected on my experiences as a woman of color struggling with acne. This is something I'm very open about on my Instagram page, and dealing with hyperpigmentation and dealing with all this on my own and not having the help of a dermatologist or being able to even afford a dermatologist, you know? And so I wanted to create this space to talk about those things that really, really affect people in our community when it comes to skin health. But talk to people in a way that was relatable, you know, not just only as a physician, but being able to talk to them like I would my family or my girlfriends. And so I decided to create it and call it Brown Skin Derm, because I was going to be talking about dermatology in people of color mainly. But over the past 2 years, I've realized that many people, you know, of all different backgrounds, you know, they follow the page, they come there for the education. I try to make it as diverse in the issues and topics. Now it's not only about dermatology, but I also talk about issues to do with the concept, the idea of beauty within our society. And I, because I think that really relates to dermatology and aesthetics and what we consider beautiful. And all the issues that stem from our idea of notions of beauty, whether it's skin bleaching, the cultural issues and the health issues that arise within that. So
bleaching is a whole nother area.
Yeah, it's a whole nother area. So those are the things that I use to cover. So my platform really, as I describe it, is to highlight, you know, skin issues on topics to do with beauty, overall image, and of anything to do skin related, ethnicity and power politics, cultural politics of it. I discuss all those on my page, and I get to collaborate with other physicians of color from all over the world in putting educative Instagram stories, and just to again empower the community to be able to articulate what they're going through to their healthcare providers or dermatologists to seek the care they need to. You know, many people come in and they come to my page and they read this stuff that they don't know that, you know, they should be seeing a physician for it. Or, you know, it just, I'm not there to diagnose you, but I feel like if I make you aware and you're able to go to a derm's office and say, you know what, I saw this thing on Brown Skin Derm's page and I think it really captured what I think I'm going through. And so that's why I'm here. You're able to articulate a little bit better why you're seeking the help and actually get them to be able to evaluate you and see whether you're concerned, you know, what diagnosis or what treatment they could offer to you. So it's as a general reference. It's a page that I just kind of do some of those things, my passions, whether it's traveling or, you know, it's just about me, my experiences in medicine and out of medicine.
I love it. It sounds really good. Do you have any advice for those interested in pursuing a career in dermatology?
First of all, I may be biased in saying this. I feel like dermatology is the best medical specialty to be in.
Yes, biased for sure.
But I really do think it is. And we need more brown derms, or what I call mocha derms in dermatology. Ah. And I want people to understand that, yes, dermatology is competitive, but competitive doesn't mean impossible. You're all capable. We're smart people. We can do it. I would say rotate with a dermatologist. Find out what we do on a day-to-day basis. Reach out, whether it's Instagram or in your community. And if you get a no the first time or you don't get any response, just keep trying. You know, physicians get busy, but evidently somebody would listen and, you know, give you their time. So find out what we do, see if this is something that you may love doing, because I feel like you would love it. But if you're a medical student, start early. If you are interested in dermatology, it helps to start preparing for the application process a little bit earlier, whether that is research, publications, poster presentations, rotating and doing really well in your clerkships, and just to create a very solid application, doing well in your boards, doing well academically. You don't have to be, you know, perfect candidate, but, you know, just show an interest, show that you're capable academically of handling the work that comes with being in this specialty, and believe in yourself and apply. Don't feel like it's impossible, because I talk to many medical students who just feel like being in dermatology is so out of their reach. There'll be many people that would tell you or want to make you feel that way. I was in that position. I was made to feel many times like I didn't belong, or that was a specialty that was not for me. And you just have to know yourself and be persistent and give it your all. But I think it's a great medical specialty. I would say if you pursue it, go at it with everything. It's possible to match into dermatology. Yes, there are not too many people of color in dermatology, but that's why we need you to apply. It's possible. It's definitely not because it's impossible. We just need people to show the interest and put in the work and take the step in applying towards achieving that goal.
I think that's going to inspire a whole lot more brown derms. Do you have any final words for the STEM-powered woman that's working in the field, studying in school, or just out here trying to survive?
I know. Look, I just want to say, I know how lonely it can be.
Yes.
Being a woman, being a minority in STEM, but I say hang in there. If anything, we have to do it for the next generation of sisters that are coming in STEM. You know, we have to have a seat at the table. And I was talking with a friend about this. Medicine, especially when you go through residency, it's such a long process. There's too many hours of, just so much dedication personally, physically, mentally, many things. You know, sometimes you graduate and just feel exhausted. You don't want anything to do with academia, but we need to go through this process and find a way to give back, to be at the table, to help, to recruit other people to come in, so that we're helping the next person's journey to be a little bit easier. So I would say to my sisters in derm and or in STEM in general, who are maybe the only person in your classroom or the only person of color at that major conference, to own it. I had to do that for myself, to own the moment, to be proud of it, because we know all the challenges it's taken to get us there, and to know that we'll be able to help somebody coming through in terms of advice, and we shouldn't be afraid to mentor. You know, that's how we make our space less lonely. Mentorship, bringing other people in, helping in any way we can. so that people don't have to go through what we have been through to get to where we are.
I love it. Thank you so much, Adeline. That was so encouraging.
Thank you for having me, Brittany. I really, really appreciate it.
It was awesome talking with you.
You too.
I hope all of you ladies listening out there loved it. And guys too. You know, this podcast is for everyone.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I hope you learned something from our discussion that you'll be able to share with others. Visit sistersinstem.org for podcast episodes, stories and advice from your sisters, and much more. Make sure you follow us at The Sisters in STEM on all social media. You can also find me on Instagram at Brittany A. Joy. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows, please subscribe so you'll know exactly when a new episode drops. And while you're at it, go ahead and give us 5 stars and leave an awesome review to show your sister some love. Remember, sis, you are an empowered woman, a STEM-powered woman. You've got this. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.